Pentecost, a new era. Amazing. What do we know about it? The Christians only know something about Pentecost because of the biblical principles and the biblical life and following Jesus Christ. The world knows nothing about Pentecost, nothing whatsoever. Just to backtrack a little bit, last Sunday we celebrated the ascension of Jesus Christ, and we ask ourselves again, so what? So what? There's a war going on in Iran. There's a war going on in Ukraine and Russia. Who cares about the ascension of Jesus Christ? Well, it's very important, because that opens the door for salvation to every human being. So the ascension took place last Sunday, although the ascension literally was Thursday, Ascension Thursday, but we celebrated on the Sunday. The day is also known as Holy Thursday, Ascension, 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, at the ascension, told his disciples to hang 10 in Jerusalem for 10 days. You all know what that means. Just hang 10. Stay put. Stay put in Jerusalem for 10 days. Because on the 10th day, another comfort is going to come, the Holy Spirit. So they had to hang 10 in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would be sent. And it was then known by us now, Pentecost Sunday, 50 days from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as I asked previously, what do we as Westerners know about Pentecost? I'll tell you, zero. Zero. What do I know about Memorial Day from South Africa? Zero. I know nothing about Memorial Day. It doesn't affect me. It didn't affect me. Now that I'm a citizen of America, now I know all about Memorial Day. What do I know about the 4th? Nothing. I don't care about it. But now that I'm a citizen of America, I'm proud to celebrate the 4th of July. And in a few weeks, this place will be covered with flags because I'm pro-America. Only me? Okay, it's fine. I could take you on. It's no problem. So we know zero, because it's nothing we commemorate, celebrate. But for the Jew, the Romans didn't care about this neither of that day. The heathen didn't care about it neither that day. But the Jew knew all about Pentecost. It was originally an Old Testament festival, celebrating and giving thanks to God for the first fruits of the early spring harvest. So to them, it was very important. And we ask ourselves again, what the heck have I got to do with Jewish celebrations? Well, when it gets to the point we recognize in the New Testament that salvation as we know it now is first going to come to the Jew. The Jew rejected that salvation, and it's open to all the Gentiles, which you and I am participants of today. So it means a heck of a lot. The great feature of the celebration of Pentecost was the presentation of two loaves made from the first fruit of the wheat harvest. Also, two lambs were presented as a peace offering, and other animals were sacrificed to give thanks to God for the provision. In other words, saying thank you, God, that you are the giver of the harvest. It's always important to give thanks, which we generate within Crossway. Give thanks all the time to God. Give thanks to one another for what they are doing. So Pentecost is the 50th day, from a Greek word meaning 50. Now we understand Pentecost means 50. After the deliverance of Egypt, we see the same thing. 50 days. The law was given on Mount Sinai. Let me take you back a little bit. The Israelites were in Egypt as slaves, and then they were delivered out of slavery by Moses 50 days after they were in the desert, delivered from Egypt. Moses was on the mountain the 50th day. And what happened on the mountain? The Ten Commandments. Look at the slide. Written in stone on the 50th day. after they were delivered from slavery. And that's why they celebrate. We celebrate today for different reason. And just as the appearance of God on Sinai was the birthday of the Jewish nation, so Pentecost, which we celebrate today, is actually the birth of the church. Not a religious organization. It was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit was sent to us, to the apostles, to those in the upper room. And we'll get to that in a minute. So Pentecost, the birthday of the Christian church. Some historical insights into Pentecost to cover our bases. Pentecost was a pilgrim festival. Now, once again, we can't relate to that because it doesn't impact us as it impacted them. But now we can celebrate for a different reason. Pentecost was a pilgrim festival. This meant that according to the Jewish law, all the adult Jewish men would come from wherever they were living to Jerusalem. No matter where they were in the world at that time, they had to come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And that's exactly what they did. All the adult Jewish men, no matter where they were, had to come to Jerusalem. Friday afternoon, and for those of you that have not been to Israel, when you go to Israel, and because Saturday is the Sabbath, by Friday afternoon, the entire country shuts down. You can't get a thing on a Friday afternoon because Saturday is the Sabbath. And here we find Friday afternoon, according to the Jewish law, once again, things shut down and they celebrate on Saturday. So Friday afternoon and Saturday, Israel is in shutdown. And around the world, the Jews will celebrate the biblical holy day of Shavuot, which is another word, Feast of Weeks. Look at the different wording used for the celebration. In short, Pentecost in the time of the apostles was what? Think back now. What was it like in the time of the apostles? It was a huge festival. Remember what I said? People have come from all over the world to celebrate. The streets of Jerusalem were packed with thousands and thousands of people. Come from every point of the compass to celebrate the goodness of God and the bringing in of the wheat harvest. So once again, how does it relate to us? We'll get there. Be patient. By the early New Testament period, it had gradually lost its association with agriculture, the wheat celebration. And of course, what happened? They concentrated more on the Torah, the law, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, which happened 50 days after they came out of Egypt. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and we kick in with this now. This is Pentecost. Now, we know today there are people that are called Pentecostals. Like in this fellowship, they will call us Pentecostal. Why? Well, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's many churches that don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not just tongues, interpretation. There's various gifts that was given to the church. Now, there's folks that don't believe that. That's absolutely fine. But on the day of Pentecost, what does Pentecost mean? 50. After resurrection of Jesus. All the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a what? A mighty windstorm. Remember, people together, praying, worshiping God, and boom, a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house or the room where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues. Now you guys, come on. You put yourself in that position. Yeah, we are praying. There's a whole lot of us all around. We're seated, some are standing, we're praying. And then all of a sudden, wow, yes, flames. Call 911, get the fire department. Look what happened. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. What would your reaction be? You see, we read this but can't relate, can't identify, but we try and put ourselves in the shoes of these folks. Looked like flames of tongues. Well, I tell you what, you've got some people today whose tongues are like flames. Doesn't matter. What looked like flames of tongue of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Because Jesus promised that. It's good for me to go away, and I'm going to send you another comforter. We're moving from the physical to the spiritual. Jesus was with the people physically. Now it's time that he goes. He's got to go present the blood on the mercy seat. There's a whole lot of things happening in heaven. But he says, it's good for me to go away because now we're not walking by sight anymore. You guys are going to start walking by faith. And you can't see the Holy Spirit. So he says, I'm going to send you another comforter, which means cut from the same cloth. In other words, part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to do what? Your King James Version and other versions says, and they spoke in other tongues, and that word tongues became a horrible word over the years. The better word or understanding for tongues, they spoke in other languages. So we'll get to that in a minute. Speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Let's go to the next slide. I don't know what slide that is. That's slide 6 and 7, somewhere around there. Now, this was the room that they believe the people were in Israel, called the upper room. There's dispute about whether this is the room, but it doesn't really matter. This room, we were there several years ago, and some of you that have been to Israel, you've been to this upper room already. You see the staircase going up over there. You can go in over there. You can pray. You can raise your hands. So look at the next slide. There's some people in the upper room to this day. Folks are there. The pilgrims are there throughout the year, every single day, wanting to experience this. And people just want to touch the stones because this is where it happened. Look at the next slide. There's your Wailing Wall. And that's part of the wall that was left after the AD 70 when the Romans conquered Israel, Jerusalem. And that's the Wailing Wall. Look at the next slide. There's a better one in the center, the dome on the left-hand side, the Golden Dome. That's where the big controversy, where the Muslims have built their temple, if you want to. And that's where they believe Abraham gave up Isaac over there at that very spot. So this is a highly controversial thing to this very day. But on this entire mount was the temple, the second temple, also then known as Herodias' temple because he enlarged it. I think we might have one of that. The old city, the Temple Mount, just look at the western wall, center, bottom, and you can find all the excavations going on over there. But I think the next slide will maybe give you a better picture of the size of this whole thing. In other words, the temple of its day. Now, remember, we're talking before AD 70, in Jesus' time, the apostles' time. The temple was 5 football fields wide. The whole area, 5 football fields wide, 144,000 square meters, which I think relates to or interprets about 172,000 square yards. I mean, this is colossal. That was the whole Jewish complex. 32 football fields altogether. So we find this was a heyday thing. And now you can see Jews coming from all over the world gathering over here to celebrate the wheat harvest. And while they were speaking in other languages, the word of this phenomenon started infiltrating the people all over. On that day. So word got out about these Jews that were gathered for the feast of Pentecost, and the crowd came running to hear, what's this gibberish going on? 120 folks, because remember, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were speaking in other languages. Sound like a mess to me, right? Well, we can do a test today. I can speak English. I can ask my wife to speak Zulu. I can ask some of you to speak Italian. I can ask some of you to speak Polish. And if we all say hello, what's it going to sound like? Gibberish. Because we don't understand it. Can't understand the Zulu, which is another African language. I can speak Afrikaans, which is the Dutch language. Goeiemôre, good morning. Sawubonga, Zulu, how are you? So we find gibberish was going on because these people have come from different nations, Jews, but they're part of that nation and they're speaking in that, and they're hearing people speak in that nation's language, each one in his own language. Some marveled, others accused the disciples of being intoxicated, but that was a foolish assertion because a drunkenness would only produce gibberish, not intelligible conversation and other languages. I think have we got slide 8 and 9? I'm not sure if we got that's 8 and 9, or is this 8 and 9 already? We've already done 8 and 9? Okay, numbers. Don't dismiss the strange gibberish. Come on, let's go back. You can go back one, Nicole, just to that again, yeah. So let's just think about it. They came from different nations to celebrate the Pentecost or the harvest, the wheat harvest. Some of them were in this room, the apostles and 120, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit descends upon them, speaking other languages. The people out here can hear what's going on. Was it strange? Yes. Is strange always wrong? No. So them speaking in these other languages, it was strange, but the natural person couldn't understand it because they can't relate to it. And just because they can't relate to it, they put it aside as non-essential. But yet it was essential. And that's why I would always say, never put strange aside as something to dismiss. Because there are many strange incidents in the Bible that could be leading you to dismiss the entire incident to our peril or to your peril. Some months ago, I did 2 Sundays on strange experiences in the Bible. An axe head is in the water, and a guy throws something in the water, wood, and the axe head, which is metal, rises. That's strange, right? And so I give you some of the strange experiences this morning. 2 are not on the screen. 1 is on the screen. One of the strangest things is in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were there, and yet comes a serpent. And what does the serpent do? Oh, have you seen a serpent talk? I'm not referring to a family member now, but have you seen a serpent talk? As a matter of fact, that serpent was upright, standing up straight. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, have some of this fruit. A serpent talking? Is that strange? Do we dismiss it? No, it happened. Another strange experience is God meeting Moses in the desert. Where was God? In a bush. And the bush was burning. And Moses comes towards the bush and the bush speaks to Moses. What would you do if a bush begins to speak to you? And the bush tells you, take off your shoes, this is holy ground. Say what? Strange. Very strange. So don't put biblical strangeness aside or dismiss it because it is of value. Oh, the other one that is of great value is Numbers 22, verse 28 to 30. And that's the one we're going now. Thanks, Nicole. Then the Lord gave the donkey the what? Have you ever heard a donkey speak? Hee-haw, hee-haw. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, come on. The Lord gave the donkey. This is science fiction, my mate. Come on. A donkey can speak. Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. But listen to this. The Lord then gave the donkey the ability to speak. And the donkey speaks to the rider. I wonder who was more alarmed, the rider or the donkey? What have I done to you that deserves you beating me 3 times. Come on, let's be practical. You on a donkey. The donkey's taking its time and you're whacking the donkey because there's something blocking the donkey's entrance, but you're whacking the donkey and the donkey speaks to you. Hey, why are you hitting me 3 times? What are you going to do? Donkey, you stay here and I'm going there. What did I do to deserve this? That you are hitting me 3 times? It asked Balaam, the rider, the owner. You have made me look like a fool, Balaam shouted. Now what's so strange? Not the donkey talking to Balaam, Balaam speaking back to the donkey. But don't be so strange. Don't let it be so. You talk the same way to your cat and your dog. And your cat and dog doesn't speak the same way back to you. At least there was proper communication over here. Intelligent communication. All your cat and dog goes, purr, purr. Oh, honey, my sweetie. Purr, purr. Good communication, that is. So he says, if I had a sword with me, I will kill you. Well, Balaam, where is your sword in the first place? Why didn't you have it with you? And then the donkey goes on and has this great communication with its owner and it says, but I am the same donkey you've ridden all your life. I grew up in your presence. You fed me every day. I'm the same donkey. The donkey answered, have I ever done anything like this before? No, but he's talking back to the donkey. No. So what do we find? Strange, but fact. Strange, but true. Holy Spirit comes upon people. Strange, speaking in other languages, but true. So don't dismiss strange. Because Pentecost does seem so bizarre. They all spoke in other languages. Look at Acts 2 verses 6, 7 and 8. When they heard the loud noise, who heard the loud noise? The people. The people heard the loud noise. What loud noise? This commotion going on. People speak over 100 something. People 120 speaking in other languages, man. Everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by these believers, Jews that have come from different nations. Notice that. Now look at slide 16. Who were these people? Okay, there we go. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, so they identify them as Galileans, and the Galileans were the people that followed Jesus. And yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. Strange, bewildered, but don't dismiss it. Look at the next slide. Countries of people mentioned. Look at all the blue dots. You see the red dot? That's Jerusalem. And you look at all the blue dots. Some of you, it's a bit too far. You can look at the back screen. You look at Jerusalem, the red dot over there. Then you find people from Arabia, Egypt, Cyrene, Crete, all the way up to Rome. You find Asia, Pamphylia, Phrygia, Pontus, Mesopotamia, Elam. Widespread, widespread. They all came to celebrate Pentecost. All them believers? No, no, no. Only the Galileans. What was the reason for this, guys? What was the reason for the 120, the Galileans to be, the Jews to be up there to receive the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible says, you're going to be my witnesses of my life, what's happened to my life, and you are going to present to the people my death, my burial, my resurrection, and my coming back again. You are going to present to the people what we know today as the gospel. Salvation for all mankind. Whoever puts his faith in Christ will be saved. So that's the message that these folks are going to take to the world, and now they need to be empowered to do that. And that's exactly what's happening. You shall be my witnesses. And the power of the church comes from the Holy Spirit, not from a man. Because Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're going to be my witnesses is a key word in the book of Acts. A witness is somebody who tells what he has seen and heard. Appropriately, the 120 people have seen the life of Jesus, have heard what he is saying, has seen him crucified, has seen him being buried, has seen him rose from the dead, and they're taking this message to the world, starting in Jerusalem. That's why he says, you will go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And guess what? America is the end of the earth. Not really. We receive that message too. That message of salvation. What was experienced over there. We are to tell the world about Jesus Christ. The plan that he gave to the disciples is both simple and practical. Wherever it is applied, it will always work. When you present the gospel to somebody, they accept Christ, their life is changed. Some people reject the gospel, that's fine. Others accept the gospel. And now we find the church is kicked in. The church is birthed. There is no alternative plan because only the blood of Jesus Christ can be on the mercy seat. And the question that has been asked so many times, why tongues? Why languages? Well, there's an interesting concept about this whole thing. Why tongues or why different languages? Because your mind's got to go back for some of us that are a little literate within the Word of God. If you hear the word languages, your mind goes back to a certain event in the Old Testament. What was that? The Tower of Babylon. Because they were supposed to be scattered and the people didn't obey God to scatter and they stayed in one place and that was not God's intention. So what did they do? They built a tower. They said, we're going to build a tower to the heavens. And God said, are you foolish guys? I'm going to step in. And he divided the language. And then it became languages. So we find very interesting Pentecost, why languages? I believe was a reversal of the judgment at the Tower of Babel. If you want to go check it out, Genesis chapter 11, when God confused man's languages. God's judgment at Babel scattered the people, but God's blessing at Pentecost united the people, spoke in other languages. They were all in one accord. So now they're taking the gospel message in different languages to the people. It was not to build something for themselves, but to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. At Babel, the people were unable to understand each other. But at Pentecost, men heard God praises and understood who he was and what was said. The Tower of Babel was a scheme designed to exalt man and to focus on the achievements of man, to make a name for man. But on Pentecost, it was to bring glory and honor to God. So he was magnified. Big difference between Babel and the language and Pentecost and the languages. The building of Babel was an act of rebellion. But Pentecost was a ministry of humble submission to God. Show me the next slide, please. There we go. The building of Babel was an act of rebellion. But Pentecost was a ministry of humble submission. Sending them out and go. Go. Present the gospel to the people. The reason for languages was to let the people know that the gospel was what? For the whole world. All languages. Because they spoke in other languages, so they can take that language, present the gospel. So the gospel of Jesus Christ was for the entire world to this day. I saw some stats the other day. Although over the years within the Pentecostal ministry, and particularly the Azusa Street that happened in, what's it, 1907, somewhere around there, when the Holy Spirit came upon people and they spoke in other languages. It's amazing today that although you have a far right aspect of Pentecostals, the Pentecostal ministry of people that believe in the Holy Spirit and believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that some people that don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit does not believe in the Holy Spirit. They just believe the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, but the gifts have ceased. Well, there's different ministries that the Holy Spirit has given to us, but yet according to stats, the Pentecostal ministry is the fastest growing religion and has been for the last several years. How people want this relationship with God and also surrendering to Christ and being operational in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The reason for languages was to let the people know that the gospel was for the whole world. It is intended for every tribe, every nation, every language. And virtually this is where missionary began, or missionary as we know it today, began there. I know that America was the number one country sending missionaries to the world. To do what? To preach the gospel. But America has now become the person that, the country that receives most of the missionaries. So what we've had, somehow we've lost. And our missionaries are coming in here from all over the world. And you won't believe it, even from South Africa. Coming in, presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people. So on this day of Pentecost, Pentecost 50 after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was a Jewish festival, but now the Holy Spirit came and the church was birthed through the Jew. What happened? The average person mocked it. The average person mocked this strange phenomena, the strange behavior. Peter, big mouth, Billy Bass, he always opens his mouth. He's always quick to do things. So Peter comes out and addresses the crowd and said, guys, calm down. These people are not drunk. It's too early in the morning. Oh, you don't know Massachusetts, my mate. But it doesn't matter. So here we find. It's too early in the morning. These guys are not drunk. And he preaches the gospel to them. And all of a sudden, there's something happening in the hearts of the people that are hearing this gospel. What must we do to change? What must we do? And he says, repent. Turn your mind from this way of living to Jesus Christ's way of living. Wow! That was a bold statement. Like some of you this morning, you've never given your life to Christ. I'm saying to you, turn around. Turn away from your old way and follow Jesus Christ the new way, because he paid a price for you. Accept Christ as your Savior. And as he preached, the Bible says 3,000 people responded. What? 3,000? These very people were mocking. But the preaching of the gospel changed the mocking. 3,000 people responded. And that's the result of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to do a baptism and it's going to take some time, I want to try and condense this and just bring it up to where I can wrap it up for us. The people were empowered by the Holy Spirit. The 120 were empowered. Of course, they went as commanded, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And then the word Christian was the first time used in Samaria. So there were Christians. Now it's no longer Jew, because the gospel was for the Jew. The Jew rejected it, but yet some of the Jews accepted it and they started preaching to the Gentiles. And whether you like it or not, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So what are you? I'm a Gentile. Okay? So the gospel was preached now to the Gentiles. And what happened? The Gentiles accepted it throughout the world. Everybody? No, not everybody wants to accept it. Too many people want to do it their way. People were empowered by the Holy Spirit. The people were united by the Holy Spirit. The people had a vision and shared the good news with other people. And people had a hunger for the word, teaching the word of God. People prayed together. And the word of God spread from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And thank God for that Pentecost Sunday. Thank God for the giving of the Holy Spirit, or the sending of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the empowerment of the people that were in the upper room. Thank God for the 3,000 that got saved, because they were vigorously presenting the gospel wherever they went. Did they pay a price? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Many of them were martyred. Many of them, of course, lost their lives. Many of them were killed because of their faith. You know Nero, what he did? He lined his whole chariot driveway with human beings and set them alight so that he can have light on his pathway for his chariots. We know how Christians were thrown in the arenas to be torn apart by the wild animals, lions, etc., etc. All to dampen Christianity. Here's the question, though. Has it been dampened? No. We always hear about China, how the Christians are persecuted. The fastest growing church is in China, the underground church. One of the fastest growing churches. And we find throughout nations, Christians are popping up. Because they've heard, you know, you and I are very blessed to have the Bible on our apps, on our iPads, on our Androids. We're so blessed to have it. How many Bibles have you got in your house? Literal Bibles. Oh, 5, 6, 7, 2. Some of us have 15 Bibles. But in China, they might, or some of the other places, might just have a little piece of a Bible. And they'll read it in one group and they'll send that piece to another group. And they start memorizing these little pieces. We're so blessed, aren't we? But blessed isn't always good, because we take things for granted. But thank God for these people that have persevered and preached the gospel, so that you and I am a recipient of this gospel today. And many people hop on the tongues. Guys, it's not the tongues. It's a different lifestyle. Knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Knowing Jesus Christ as the one that paid the price for our sins. Knowing that we don't have to go to a lost eternity. That we can see God one day face to face. Not through a religious organization, but through a person, Jesus Christ. Build a relationship with Him. If you've not built a relationship with Him, I ask you today, make that decision now. I want to build a relationship with Jesus. I'm a sinner. Start following Him. Why? Oh, there's dividends. Why? Because as we follow Him, one day we will see Him. I still believe in the heaven. I still believe in the hell. I still believe in God. I still believe in the devil. Some folks know there is no devil. Oh, just look what's happening around the world. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness. And the word of God spread from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. The church was born at Pentecost. I want us to close with this one or two slides. The church was born at Pentecost. So what do we say? You see, the 4th of July, we're going to make a big noise. The 4th of July, the whole outside is going to be flags all over the show. Inside there's going to be decorations. Downstairs, for the whole month, who cares? Not only for 1 week. It's 250 years. Let's make a noise. But this noise should be bigger. This noise, the birth of the church, should be bigger. It has eternal impact. So this morning, we can truly say, Pentecost Sunday, happy birthday, church. So is the church a building or made up of people? So you and I'm the people. So it would be appropriate to turn to each other and say, what? It's not my birthday. Yes, it is. It's your spiritual birthday. So just look to somebody quickly and say, happy birthday. Pentecost Sunday. Come on. It's worthwhile getting excited about. We get excited about the natural birthday. What about the spiritual birthday? That's forever and ever and ever. And once I was dead in my sins, but now I'm alive unto Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Absolutely. The church was born at Pentecost. Happy birthday. A new era. A new era. A new dispensation. From the physical to the spiritual. From literally Jesus that's with the disciples 24/7 to the Holy Spirit that is omnipresent and we can't see Him, but He's real. So what is our responsibility? Let me close with this. What is our responsibility as the church? What do you think is that? What was the responsibility of the people that got filled with the Holy Spirit? What was their job description? Go. Make disciples. What is a disciple? It was on the screen. A follower, a student, a follower of Jesus Christ. So is that my responsibility or our responsibility? How are you doing so far? Move on to the next one. Never get stuck with one person. There's always somebody that will accept. Many people get stuck with one person, don't want to hear, don't want to listen. Move on, go tell somebody else. There's always somebody that wants the candy. Move on. Spread the gospel. So our responsibility, because it's our birthday today, we're following in the footsteps of our forefathers and the apostles and the believers of Galilee. We are going to preach the gospel, the good news. Gospel, what's another word? Good news. Don't you love good news? I love good news. I don't care much about sad news, bad news, negative news. I'm not a negative guy. So I just move on positively. I know sometimes Heather and I will chat. And Heather, I'm going to share a secret with you. Not a secret, that's how we live. Every now and then Heather will get stuck in a little rut when we have a conversation. Because she wants to go into detail. I haven't got patience for detail. I said, let's move on. In the board meeting, they always get stuck in detail. I want to move on. Thank you very much. I don't get involved in all these details. So here we find. Get on. Spread the gospel. But here's the important thing. Make disciples and do what? That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing today. We're baptizing, but it doesn't stop there. For the folks that are here, some of you aren't in the local church. Wherever you're going to find yourself, you need to find a place where you fellowship. Because you've got to be taught the word of God. Make disciples and teach them. Make disciples, teach them. And those folks that are here, you're in a good place to get taught. You will get taught and taught and taught and taught and taught and taught over and over. You'll hear it often again. Get over it, get over it, get over it, move on. You've got to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ because you're building a relationship with Jesus. And you've got to be taught the ways of God. So go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit. So that the people can be empowered and be bold to go and present the gospel. And I'm a recipient of that, and you are a recipient of that as well. Can we pray together?